Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to episode number 184 of the Functional Nerds Podcast. And John?
Yes?
A long time ago, we used to be friends, but I haven't thought of you lately at all. That'll make more sense when we get to picks.
Okay. I'm saying that's we're a team, Patrick. I don't know if it's really great to start the show like saying that we're not friends anymore.
You'll see.
Starting off on the wrong foot. Anyway, that is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. You can check out his stuff over at his website, atfmb.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I am a songwriter and a composer. You can check out my music over at johnanilio.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at johnanilio. And today, we have a tag team. We have T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne. They are authors in their own right, and they are podcasters in their own right, and they also write together. So they have a new book coming out that they're going to tell us about. It's the latest in their series. And T. and Pip, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it, John.
Oh, no problem. What's up, before we get on to the random chit-chat, what's the main websites that you would like to let our listeners know about where they can check out your stuff?
Three.
Go for it.
There are three main websites.
Hold on, you got to come back in again.
I'll start again. Okay, go ahead, baby.
Ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com is our steampunk series that we share. And then he's got T. Morris.com. And then I'm Ballantyne at pjballantyne.com.
And amongst our websites, we have ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com, tmorris.com, pjballantyne.com, and our podcast, theshareddesk.com. So we cover a lot of ground.
Boy, Patrick, I'm getting a lot of ideas with the bell. We got to get a bell. It's like a great way to punctuate things.
Seriously, this bell, $5 at a Staples or an Office Depot.
Seen a lot of action.
See, I was gonna grab my USB TARDIS, but it's not actually plugged in right now, so that wouldn't work.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. T and I met at a Balticon a couple years ago. I went about 3 years in a row. I didn't go last year, but there. What's great about Balticon is it is a genre convention, but really I think of it as almost more of a new media convention, almost like a podcasting convention.
Yeah, and T, in new media, we use technology, not bells.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that technology. When I don't travel with the bell, I have a bell app on my phone. The thing about this bell, though, this bell never goes to sleep. It never goes to sleep. You never have to use a password to open it up.
So. Okay, gotcha. Anyway, I'm sorry, John. I completely derailed you.
Oh, no, it's okay. Balticon. And it's one of the things that I really like about Balticon is because it's at least it's in a nice sweet spot for someone like me, and I think I'm very typical of a lot of the listeners that we have, where it's not just a straight up fan convention where people are going to go and wait a long time to see their favorite authors or actors or what have you.
I hate that.
And it's not like a really.
I mean, who wants to see your favorite author or actor?
That's fine. And then there's other conventions that I've been to that have been very, very, very intellectual. Really where I remember the year that we went to World Fantasy, Patrick. I know some of the panels there were way over my head. I had no idea what, reading some of the – so there. That's another thing. Whereas I think with something like Balticon, it's that sweet spot where a lot of the panels are – here are people that are, for instance, doing their own podcast, and here's how they do it. And so there's a lot of really, useful information that you can get from people, because a lot of the panels are people that are doing it, that are writing, that are, you know, some of them are traditionally published, some of them are self-published, a lot of them are a mixture of both, the hybrid author that we often talk about, some of them do their own. Yeah, so it just seems like there's a lot of different people doing it their own way. And so if you're someone that is either just a fan of genre, there's lots of great stuff. If you're someone who's doing your own creative thing, there's lots of really cool people to talk to, both at panels and at the bar and in the hallways. And it's a great con for that. And a lot of the people that I'm still really good friends with on Twitter and Facebook and all that are people that I met the first couple of years that I went to Balticon. So it's a great con. If you're in anywhere within driving distance of Baltimore, I highly recommend it. It's totally worth going to. So
yeah, I actually Balticon was the first con that I went to with my very first book. Mm-hmm. And I attended Balticon religiously for 10 years.
And last year was the only year you'd had a break.
First year I had a break, and it was worth it. It was definitely worth it. Great road trip, great times with Pip. What's funny about I've watched the new media track grow and change and evolve and all this stuff. And what's been really amazing is that there are those intellectuals, those hardcore intellectuals that do go to Balticon. And when you mention the new media track, they go, "I don't attend that convention. Right. I attend Balticon." And that's where I kind of roll my eyes and go, "Okay, Sparky, if you say so."
Yeah, but it's kind of like podcasts don't belong on the Hugo ballot.
Exactly. Yes. Don't get me started on that little argument. Do not get me. I'll never forget when.
Oh dear, he's starting on that argument.
Hey, you know what? Blogs don't belong. Blogs aren't fanzines, and yet, right, hey, SF exactly. Signal first year, boom, Hugo Award. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'll never forget when I was at CapClave. And I mentioned the growth of podcasting and the growth of this and this and that and that, and I said, for example, look at the winner of the Hugo Award this year. It was a podcast, and some schmuff in the audience says that's because they hijacked the Hugo.
Mm-hmm. I would love to know how to hijack a Hugo.
I think it involves getting a Star Trek phaser, running up to the cockpit, and claiming it in the name of Allah. I mean, that's the only thing I can assume how you do it, but. But no kidding. I mean, I said to the guy point blank, I was like, "How do you hijack a Hugo?" And the guy said, "You asked for votes." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, because nobody on the ballot ever did that."
You got on that subject.
Yeah, I got on that subject. But no, Balticon is it's a terrific con. Actually, Pip was one of the new media guests of honor.
Yes, nice. I got to see other guests of honor. I didn't know there were any others, but apparently there are other people there.
Well, you know, let's because we're about to get into our picks of the week, but before we do that, you guys do have a new book coming out in your series. So why don't you let our listeners know about the new book that's coming out and how it ties into the other books in the series?
Well, it's book three of The Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. So Phoenix Rising and The Janus Affair were the first two. It's a series kind of like a steampunk X-Files, a steampunk British Avengers. We have a New Zealand secret agent who likes to blow things up, not at all related to me. And we have an archivist who she gets demoted down to the archives, and they go off and have adventures. She drags them along somewhat unwillingly at the beginning. But by the third book, they end up in America, so they hook up with their equivalent in the American government, which is the Office of the Supernatural and Metaphysical, which is the Agents of Awesome. And they go on a cross-country rampage, investigation. That's right. They're
investigation, rampage, it all kind of works out the same way with these agents.
Right across from sea to shining sea,
yeah,
kind of thing.
We start in the Outer Banks, and we end up in San Francisco.
Yes, with various stops and outrages in between.
Now, when you say a British Avengers, yes, obviously you're not talking about Steed and Peele.
No, yes,
we are.
No, we're talking about Mrs. Peele and John Steed. Yeah,
they were Avengers. Yeah, they were British.
The problem is when we say. If we say steampunk Avengers,
they think Iron Man and
Hulk and Cap America and all that, and we have to explain.
So we got used to saying no, the British.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so yeah, I'm different. So I remember my mom watching the Avengers, Steed and Peele, on CBS Late Night.
Oh yeah, that was where mm-hmm. I had my first crush with Miss Diana Rigg.
Oh yeah,
and it's funny because. Pip had never seen an episode of The Avengers until after we'd finished Phoenix Rising. And she mentioned that. She said, I've never seen an episode of The Avengers. So, the Netflix. I just picked one at random, mm-hmm. and I picked the right one. It was in the color years, and it was called The Winged Avenger. Mm. And it was set in the comic book industry.
Nice.
And not only were they poking a little bit of fun at comic books, and this is in the 60s, but they were also poking fun at the big sensation, which was Batman, with Adam West and Burt Ward. Mm-hmm. And they actually poked a little fun at that. And I'm watching this, and Pip's nodding her head going,
I see it now.
I see it now. Yeah.
Well, and Diana Rigg, only actress who played a character who actually married James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, I consider her one of the finest James Bond, finest of the Bond women.
Yes.
One of the finest, not the finest. And it's, and I remember we were watching the restored James Bond. And some documentaries that came with that set, and they were talking about Lazenby and how, what's a good word to describe our Australian James
pillock.
Bond? Yeah, he's a bit of a pillock. And I remember in the Diana Rigg segment.
Isn't she Dame?
Yes, you're right. Thank you. Dame Diana Rigg says, "Oh yes, poor George. I wonder what he's doing now." And you could just hear the undercurrent.
Isn't he on a cruise?
Oh, but you know what? He did tons. And here, you know, hey, I'm gonna throw this out there. He did tons of like softcore porn.
Yeah, yeah. He wound up on and, Emmanuel the series.
Yeah, and I remember originally the story was that he begged his agent to get him out of this James Bond thing because it was horrible. And now, years and years and years later, when they did the Eon Everything or Nothing documentary on James Bond,
yeah.
He's like, oh, no, that was all a misunderstanding. I didn't really want out of it. Yeah, right. And then he's like, oh, I'm a pacifist. And that's really, you know, that was my problem with it is I was a pacifist and I didn't like him going around punching people and shooting people.
Well, so he'd never heard of James Bond before and
right.
never knew what he did.
Apparently.
I mean, dude, it's called acting, okay? You know, get over it. In fact, I think that was the documentary we were watching, the On All or Nothing. Because in that same one, what I thought was one of the most profound things in that was said by Timothy Dalton, who I will always look at as the unappreciated Bond, because I loved his James Bond. I loved his Bond. And I remember he said something that made a lot of sense. He said that people were saying, I can't take my child to this film. And I'm there, and Timothy Dalton said, and I'm there saying, of course you shouldn't. He's a secret agent. He kills for a living. Come on. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant thing.
They have this thing called the Lego Movie now.
Yeah, they got a Lego movie. You know, take your kids to that. There you go.
Well, very good. Well, let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And T and Pip, why don't you go first? I know you guys have a pick together. So what is your pick this week?
Oh, well. Our pick this week had to be the final.
Oh, yeah. Our pick of the week happened very early in the week, but our pick of the week...
I don't know if it's considered a genre.
But the thing is, because of the way the geeks have been losing their minds over it, yes, I do
consider
it a genre.
Okay, you're going to consider it.
The finale of True Blood. True Detective. True Detective. The finale of True Detective. Now, there's been a...
Cthulhu did not rise.
Now, don't do any spoilers because they're still on my DVR.
Cthulhu does not rise.
I'm three episodes behind.
Cthulhu does not rise. We can at least give you that much.
Okay.
But there has been a huge debate about
yes.
Was the ending worth it? Was the ending was it phoned in? What you know? Everybody has their own spin on the ending. I actually did a blog post on True Detective on the post.
So don't read it.
So you may not want to read it. I'm actually keep it pretty spoilerific free. But the thing about the ending is there is a twist to it if you think about it.
Yes, there is.
And
but it's not a shamalama.
This is not a shamalama ding dong. It's not. It is absolute. Honestly, I said it on my blog. I will say it here. It was truly the best television ever put on television. I mean, it was nice. Just astounding.
It's been a brilliant show. Yes.
As writers, I mean, it's just like, oh, I want to write that novel now.
I want to write Southern Gothic.
Well, and one of the things I heard was like McConaughey. They're like, Oscars aren't good enough for him. He wants an Emmy too.
And a Golden Globe.
And a Golden Globe. Everything you've got. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you know who else should be up for that too is Harrelson. I would never pictured those two. I mean, I know they've worked together.
Yeah, but it was on some weird
stoner movie that McConaughey I think produced or something like that.
All right.
But the two of them worked so well together.
Yes.
And just the cast on a whole, there was not one weak link in this chain. And John, from a musician's perspective, I don't know if you've been tracking with True Detective or not, but
the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is just wonderful.
Is it? I haven't been fine. Is it a score, or is it just songs that are licensed for it?
Both.
Yeah, both. Okay.
Both.
I believe the name of the theme is done by. The theme is called Far From Any Road, and it's performed by the Handsom Family.
Yeah. Okay, I've heard of them, sure, yeah.
We've been doing a lot of comparisons between True Detective and Luther, which also has a great soundtrack, licensed songs, and Idris Elba, actually, he's a DJ, and he had a hand
in putting together the soundtrack.
Oh,
putting it all together.
Cool.
And Luther is available on Netflix?
Yes it is, all seasons. Yeah. And,
is it all seasons? I believe it is all seasons.
So now, because she's from the Commonwealth and because she got me hooked onto Luther, I want to hear Pip's perspective of how Luther and True Detective are different from other American cop procedures.
Well, I did see a few people on board saying that they thought that True Detective was slow. Because it's more like the British version of it's about the characters. And the murder is sort of a running thread through it, but the characters are really what's holding it together. I mean, and also the brokenness.
Oh,
Luther is broken, and so are Rustin and Marty. So,
I just love how you're right. They're broken when they're sitting there and they're telling the story, and basically they're relating this murder case.
Yeah.
And I love when they're like, yeah, this happened, and then you cut to it, and it's completely different. They're lying their ass.
I like that. Unreliable narrators.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, True Detective, and also now so you've seen this episode, Patrick. So, the fourth episode? Was it episode four? Or episode six, that had this. People just lost their minds about it on. And I remember when we were watching it, I was saying, what is so. Apart from the content of this one scene, what is so unsettling about this scene? And then the next day, the internet just lost their mind over it. There's this, I believe it is episode four. It's a 6-minute continuous tracking shot.
Yes, yes, yes. You know how hard those are to do?
Yes, because we've shot book trailers. So we know how hard a tracking shot is. I remember.
I think apparently they did it three times. That was all.
And the director, Fujinawa, I know I'm probably screwing up his name, but he actually said we shot the scene and we figured we'll find a place to put the edit, and we watched it and we said, no, it's good as it is.
Yeah. It reminds me because Carpenter did that in Halloween, in the first Halloween movie. There's a continuous shot as the kid is walking towards the house, and then he's walking around the house, and he's looking in the windows.
That's right.
And he goes around the back, and he comes in the back door. Joss Whedon did it on Firefly.
And he also did it in Serenity when he introduced. It was during the opening credits.
Yes, and you're not supposed to do it on TV because it's too hard to stage. And yes, I know exactly when they're in there. He goes undercover and they're going through the neighborhood.
They do the raid. Of the projects.
I'm sitting there going, I realized it 4.5 minutes in. I'm going, wait a minute, they haven't cut away. This is one long shot. Holy crap.
And then Pip and I watched that episode, just that episode. We watched it like three times.
Yeah, we just want to watch that shot again.
And then we watched that shot again, and we've already decided that even though True Detective is done for this season, since True Detective is done for this season, we're going to probably go back and just mainline True Detective on HBO Go again, because, man, what incredible television. Just incredible. So that's our pick of the week, True Detective.
Cool. Nice. Cool. Patrick, what is your pick this week?
My pick this week is, as this episode is going live, Veronica Mars, the movie, has been out at the movie theaters for a week.
That's right.
This was the crowdsourced, crowdfunded movie made essentially for the fans, because the fans gave them their hard-earned money. All the marshmallows out there gave Veronica Mars money for this movie. And I'm a huge fan of the television series. I thought it was wonderful. Her character was wonderful. She was very snarky with a sense of humor, which is what I like. Tons of drama, tons of great stuff in that series. So I was really happy to see them get this movie made. So that's my pick this week.
Very good. My pick this week is going to be a book. It is called The Emperor's Blades. Emperor's Blades. It's by Brian Staveley, who's going to be a guest on an upcoming show. And it is a pretty traditional epic fantasy put out by Tor. And I just finished it last night, and I loved it. It hit all the boxes for me for what I really like in an epic fantasy. What I was particularly impressed with, but just really that kind of hit me on a level that and an emotional level that I like is I'm always a sucker for your traditional hero's journey kind of epic fantasy. And what Brian, I think, did so expertly in this book is it's the story of two brothers and a sister, but they're all separated. And it's supposed to be a multiple book series, like most epic fantasies are. So the two main viewpoint characters are the two brothers and the sister, although she has fairly low page count in this book. I'm kind of assuming kind of like in the George R.R. Martin-esque world, like book two is going to be a lot from her point of view. But basically with the two brothers, each one of them goes on a separate hero's journey, and it's really very complete, sort of telling these sort of side-by-side hero's journey that comes together very nicely at the end of book one here. And I if you like George R.R. Martin, if you like Brandon Sanderson, if you like that kind of epic fantasy, this is a book for you. I loved it. So it is The Emperor's Blades, and it is by Brian Staveley, and I recommend you check it out. I really dug it.
And John, the song that I sang at the beginning, that's by the Dandy Warhols.
Oh, okay.
It was the original theme song for the Veronica Mars TV
show. Oh, that's right, yeah. The Dandy Warhols are a messed up group. I don't know if you know much about their history. But they are messed up. They are like sort of your – I don't know. I don't even think all of the members are alive at this point. I think they are your typical like heroin-doing rock band. Like they were a disaster as a group. So that's all I know about them. But very good. So anyway, we're going to get – we did talk a lot in the picks. And
you got all of 7 minutes to talk, John.
Yeah.
Go.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, it was good stuff.
No. We're going to kind of continue with what we were talking about in the picks. We're going to talk a little bit about genre TV and, team Pip, watch a lot. Patrick watches a lot. I watch a good bit myself.
I'm curious to know what they're watching right now.
What are you watching right now?
I'm going to let you kick off with the New Zealand favorite. With the New Zealand favorite.
What?
You're terrible. I cannot cue you to save your life. Two words. Sounds like Gralmost Moomin.
Oh, Almost Human.
Thank you.
It's not made in New Zealand.
And they're done for
New Zealand favorite, because who's the star in it?
Al Urban.
Thank you.
And they're done. They're done for the season, right? They just had their finale.
Who knows if they're going to get a second season.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I think I could see that they missed a few beats plot-wise along in the series, but I really like the main characters. I'd really like to see them evolve. But, in the modern television world, who knows if you get a second season. You're lucky if Fox plays all your episodes. They didn't play them in order either, so another Firefly moment there.
Yeah, I actually picked that about a month or two ago, because I really like the show myself. I've been watching it, and I've been DVRing it. And, I think I love the characters. I thought Michael Ealy is the actor that plays.
Oh, great.
The, I think he's wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah, what I think he's
historian.
Yeah, so he's doing a great job, and I really like Carl Urban a lot. And I think all the main characters are very good. I like the world
think,
that
I
they
think
have.
The other robots don't get enough credit. That guy who plays all the other robots, come on.
Does he get paid for being
the robot? I will say the most unsettling moment in Almost Human
is when you see them without their clothes on.
Yeah, when you saw the robots without their clothes on, and they were designed to look like
Ken dolls.
Ken dolls. I was like, oh. Okay, that makes sense. And then I love it when Dorian whips his out and Carl Urban goes and they give you all that for one guy. I mean, and that's the banter between the two of them.
You scanned my balls.
You scanned my balls.
I'm sorry.
I'm just hoping Carl Urban goes out and makes another Judge Dredd movie.
Me too.
Yeah. There've been rumors, haven't there? About
there've been rumors. We actually rented Dredd, and I called it the John Carter syndrome. It was the same thing with John Carter. We basically pulled it off of iTunes or something, and we said, let's see how bad or how good or how whatever this movie is. We're watching it, and we keep looking at each other, going, okay, this is going to start sucking.
This.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's going to start sucking soon, right?
And got to the end, you're like, oh.
Wow. I mean, we got Dredd on Blu-ray. We got John Carter on Blu-ray. But I love the Dredd. I love me some Dredd.
So getting back to TV.
Yeah, getting back to TV, though.
So we're watching that. We're watching Helix.
Helix. I'm really enjoying Helix. Helix kind of caught me off guard. First off, I'm a big Billy Campbell fan. I've been a fan of Bill Campbell ever since The Rocketeer. Another terrifically underappreciated
The
Rocka-who? Movie. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But
it's kind of like zombies on ice.
Zombies on ice, pretty much. Zombies on ice.
Which is coming to every town in America through Disney in 2015.
Ladies and gentlemen, Walt Disney's Zombies on Ice.
If you get too close, you might get sprayed with some of their black ichor that comes out.
I think they're going to buy The Walking Dead and then put it on ice. So, yeah.
There you go. But the beautiful thing about Helix, and I'm thinking this must be a touch of Ron Moore, because Ron Moore is the executive producer of it. And what's so cool about it is that twice in every episode, and last night's it was three times, you will hear elevator music.
Yes, when something horrible is happening, there's suddenly elevator music.
I mean, it's the weirdest touch, but it is so unsettling. There was last night, the zombies, and they're not really zombies. I think they're kind of a cross between the aliens, the xenomorphs and aliens, and zombies. They're a hive mentality kind of thing. And they're thinking, and they basically collected all of this infected blood, and the small group of people.
They were trapped in a room.
They were hiding in a room. They sprayed them using the emergency
sprinkler system,
with infecting them. As they're getting infected, the elevator music kicks in. It's like. It's always raining in my heart.
and
they're screaming. They're covered in this black ooze, and it's always raining in my heart. And I'm like, okay, it's made worse because I want that spooky John Carpenter soundtrack, but instead I'm getting this cheery elevator music, which is a touch of genius from Helix, I think.
Cool.
Is the new sci-fi thing on the CW, the 100 or something, is that on anybody's radar?
I've heard about it. I haven't picked up on it yet.
You're watching Arrow. I know that.
I'm watching Arrow.
Oh, I love Arrow. Like that. Can't wait for The Flash. We'll see what that's any better than the other one.
I actually got sucked into to Arrow, and now I'm just like, yeah, okay, I can get behind
dun,
this.
Dun, 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 dun,
another series, I think I'm a season behind it, and I need to get back onto it. I was really enjoying it, Continuum.
Oh, really? I watched the first couple. I haven't watched the recent ones.
You know, I watched the first two seasons of Continuum. I guess season three is going to be starting in Canada very soon, like in the next week, because it's a Canadian show. And then I think Sci-Fi is going to start it in April, season three. I watched the first two seasons, and I liked it very much. Patrick, what's good about it? I would give it a chance. What's nice about it is that they do have an overall arc that is, as each episode and as each season has gone on, it gets deeper and deeper and more I'll say mythic, for lack of a better way of putting it. It's sort of presented as a, you know, a procedural kind of cop show in the future.
No, I know. I watched the first couple seasons, but my issue is that if it starts to get where I can predict what's happening, I start to get bored, and I've been able to predict fairly well what's going to happen in Continuum.
And see, so I was actually going to compare the writing of Continuum to another underappreciated sci-fi film called Deja Vu. That was with Denzel Washington and Val Kilmer. And what I like about Continuum is the same thing that they did with Deja Vu, where they deal with the paradox. And I think they deal with it in a very intelligent manner. So that's what keeps me coming back, is how do they deal with the time travel and the way they tie in the future with the past.
They can always trip you up, though. I mean, as writers, I've done time travel before. And sometimes editors say, just keep away from the time travel, okay? Because that's going to get complicated. You know, people start to nitpick and stuff. And I think, Doctor Who avoids it completely by just, like, ripping through it.
Exactly.
Well, and I guess Lost Girl is dropping viewers. Being Humans dropped viewers. Bitten. Intelligence isn't doing too good right now. Archer lost some viewers. I'm looking at
Archer lost viewers.
Yeah,
really?
It hit its lowest point in two seasons this week.
Because they just got picked up for two seasons.
Yeah, they did.
So,
Star-Crossed.
So somebody's watching. Duh.
Well, yeah. Epic probably a bit nicer than regular networks.
Now, it's not genre, but another show that Pip got me watching was The Americans.
Oh, I love The Americans.
That's coming back.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. That is such a good show.
It just makes me feel old that it's considered a period piece.
And right.
Don't worry, the 90s is considered a period piece.
That's true.
I keep wanting, it's like I'll watch that show and I'm thinking, damn, I need to go out and get the Tom Clancy novelization.
Well, it's weird because we live in the area, in the DC area, and they're talking about opening a mall, and we're like, we know that mall. It's been open for ages. Oh, we're old.
So yeah, so
well, we're big FX and HBO fans. We watch most of the stuff except for Hannibal.
Hannibal is genius in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
And I tell you, I
want to wear all of his suits.
Oh God, he is so well dressed.
Every time he has someone over for dinner, I'm shouting at the screen, "No, don't eat it! He's beating you people! He's beating you people!"
It looks very, very tasty.
When he was slicing up that one guy's leg, and then he prepared it for dinner, I'm watching it going, "Yeah,
maybe
I'd go for that. Sure, why not?" I mean, and that's the thing that I have gotten into near fist fights with some people. At one time, I would say that between the three actors who have played Hannibal Lecter, who is Brian Cox, Sir Anthony Hopkins, and Mads Mikkelsen, I gotta say, Mads is he's my Hannibal. He is my Hannibal.
You can see the charm.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, you want to talk about a great geek moment? A great geek moment. There's a scene in season one where
Morpheus.
And Zoe are having dinner with Lashif. I mean, wow.
Yes.
Wow. Great moment.
And I'm just curious, do you guys watch Grimm?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I do watch
Grimm. She's a big Grimm fan.
I'm a couple of episodes behind, but I'm enjoying it. It's like one of those things that I pick up, you know, when I've got an odd moment.
Yeah.
Whereas there are things like I will watch True Detective and Hannibal. I want to watch them
in
as
real
they
time.
Happen.
We don't want any spoilers for that. We want to watch them in real time.
But yeah, I'm enjoying Grimm. It's got. I always worry that those sort of procedural things are going to be monster of the week, and after a while, it gets a little dull and boring. But they seem to have.
They're keeping it fresh.
They're keeping it reasonably fresh. Yeah. And they're also not doing the thing where the secondary characters never find out that he's having
derp.
No, they're all finding out.
Yes,
one by
as
one.
They should.
Sure, why not?
All right. Well, let us start to wrap it up here a little bit. Pip and T, why don't you again let everyone know where they can find the new book, where they can find you online, and any other things that you want to let people know about before we have to go.
Okay.
I want two websites: tmorris.com, pjvalentine.com, and Ministry of Peculiar Gifts. Three. That's right. Just wanted to wrap it back up again. Okay, so. So Dawn's Early Light is coming out on the 25th of this month.
So it should be on all e-platforms, all your bookstores. If there are still bookstores, there will, it will be in bookstores. It's also coming out as an audiobook the day after on the 26th. So if you prefer your stuff in your ears rather than on your eyeballs. And we're also giving away, there will be a free short story coming out.
Right.
And we've also got the Tales from the Archives, which is our companion podcast where you can catch up on what different agents are doing beyond the scope of the novels. And lots of different people are producing stories for us on that, and they're fun. And that's, you can find that on iTunes or
Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. And then that's all happening. We have a really busy week on the 25th, because the 25th the book comes out, 26th the audio version comes out. Then on the 27th we are guests in Richmond, Virginia. We are doing a talk, since you guys were talking about hybrid authors.
We're
going to be talking about that for the James River Writers Writer Show. And the Writer Show they describe as inside the actor's studio for authors. Cool. And we're going to be there talking about hybrid authors.
And why they are awesome.
And why,
why you should be one.
I think they got the best tagline. They go, come to the Writer Show in March to find out how hybrid authors get more mileage. Really, I give them props for that. And then on the 29th, we get one day off. And then on the 29th, Pip and I are running a master class in Richmond.
On social media for authors.
Social media for authors. Specifically for authors, basically how to make it work.
To be a jerk.
And yeah, how not to be a jerk, basically. And then we have assorted appearances coming up.
We'll be at Balticon.
We'll be at Balticon. I will be a guest of honor at DemiCon in Des Moines, Iowa. It's their 25th anniversary, and I'm their guest of honor. She's my plus one. And that's really about it. You heard the earlier websites. We'll do it again with a straight voice. tmorris.com.
PJBallantine.com, MinistryofPeculiarOccurrences.com,
and TheShareDesk.com for our podcast.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you, guys. For me this week, just go check out my music over at JohnAnilio.com. I've been putting some stuff up there. I've been doing a lot of instrumental stuff lately. I'm going to start posting some kind of works in progress, too, because... because why not? That's why I'm doing that. So, and you can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. Patrick, what are you going on this week?
Some of the usual stuff, obviously. I've got posts of Rick Kirkus. So if you go to Kirkus Reviews, you can find my reviews of graphic novels over there. I am going to be at the Pikes Peaks Writers Conference. I'm on faculty officially now. That's April 25th through 27th. And I'm going to be their official podcaster. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. And so that's going to be cool. If you want to go check that out over on SF Signal, we have a superstar military sci-fi podcast. It includes Mike Cole, Karen Lawachi, Richard Dansky, who does the Tom Clancy games for Ubisoft, and some other folks. So go check that out. And the current March issue of Locus has a focus on SF Signal, and they talked to me and John DiNardo and JP France. So we were very excited to be included in that. That was pretty awesome. So that's pretty much all my stuff. ATFMB is where you can find me online, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Great. All right, everybody. Well, T, Pip, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with everything coming up with the book and all the other various ventures that you have. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you soon. Everybody else, we'll see you next time. Bye.
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 Thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.